Hi, everybody. Welcome back to... I'm not going to bother. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Always Smiling Faces podcast on the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. And the podcast, as always, is sponsored by www.pt-4-u.co.uk and part of the 90-Minute Podcast Network. So, boys, Mark, I'm going to come straight to you. Mark has been in Benidorm for the last 5 days. So, luckily for myself and Deck and everybody watching and listening, we can't really hear him.
Quite funny if that was rude, but yes, I seem to have an issue with my my voice box today. Thankfully, it is slightly better than it was yesterday. But
is that off the cheap fucker or the cheap women?
She stayed at home.
Definitely, definitely the vodka, the rum, the tequila, the lager. And the cider, and lots of shouting and singing.
Yeah. What do you shout and sing about on a stag do?
I've got no idea anything. Whatever situation arises.
How's Benidorm at the minute? Just still like a bit tawry, like it was.
It was like getting there, like kind of midweek. It was a little bit quieter. There's a lot of places are closed down and stuff like that. So it is. It does seem a bit of a ghost town around, but then you got to the weekend and then Friday hit and then Saturday and like all of a sudden the place just came alive. Like the beach was absolutely chocker on Saturday and Sunday, and then in the pubs and clubs. So there's definitely a lot of places that are kind of have struggled over the last 18 months with not being able to open and all the restrictions and stuff like that. And there's still curfews and things like that over there as well.
Is it?
Yeah, so everything has to.
You only have 100 pubs, shots
clubs, and stuff like that. All have to shut by 3. So literally, it got to 3 o'clock, and it was like.
Right. I think it was 10.
No, right. No, 3. So, but it's quite weird.
What like, this,
when, like, we're in this nightclub, and like, honestly, this DJ was brilliant. Like, absolutely, the whole place was going right off, and all of a sudden, like, it got to 3 o'clock. The music just died, and they switched the light on. It was like, hello.
That reminds us of the old days going out when I was younger.
Yeah.
You just get into someone.
They didn't even play Frank Sinatra. I did it my way, 5-3, just to ease it out. So, but it was nice to get away and have a bit of a time off and remember what the sun feels like on your skin.
I was the same as you when I went to Benidorm. My voice went completely gone. Like, definitely the vodka and that, like, just cheap shiting it. But who cares?
But I'm still here. I'm gonna soldier on.
Oh, top man.
Oh, thanks, mate. Thanks for joining me. Decker's here. For those that are watching, listening to the audio. Decker, you were missing last week.
I was. What was I doing?
You were in doctor duties.
Yeah, at least I wasn't very well.
Oh, God, aye. Bless her. Aye, she had food poisoning.
She'd also been to Benidorm.
She had she ate 6 months out of date custard. That's what happened.
From a tin or a carton?
It was a carton, aye. 6 months out of date.
Which went wrong.
And, yeah.
Egg.
There was a big
egg
problem.
And milk in there. That's.
Oh, she was done.
That's, like, that's not a good mix, is it?
Oh, she was really bad. So I thought she might have pulled herself together so I could have made it. But I quickly realised that wasn't going to happen. So I sort the kids out and all the rest of it. So sorry I missed last week.
That's fine. We did okay without you, mate.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, so as you can tell, it's only 3 a night. And we actually couldn't find a replacement. We tried. We had to drag Mark here. And it was just going to be me and Decker. We did try and get a replacement. We've gone through the usual lot. But everyone's too busy. It was too last minute. But it's like old school this, so just the 3 of us.
It is, yeah.
It is a bit weird. You should have sat in the middle and you should have sat over there.
Yeah, that would have been really old school, yeah.
Yeah, but...
We just saw catching flies.
Let's... just release the flies
Just get a siren passing in the background as well. Drive-by shootings and that.
But we're back to discuss another Newcastle United display.
I thought you were going to say defeat there.
It's not a defeat. Could have been. If you felt like a defeat at times... let's just dive straight into the game, to be fair, lads. Opening 90 seconds, and it looked like we were going to be in for a tough afternoon. Straight from that opening whistle, they have a chance, and to be fair to Darlow, 2 great saves by Darlow in the first 90 seconds. And at that point, I'm worried. I'm not going to lie, I'm worried. I'm not sure what your thoughts were on it. If going into the game, you thought anything... we're going to go and win the game, because I noticed on social media there was a lot of confident fans
Thinking
we'll get 3 points. But
Watford hadn't started particularly well, have they? And they you know, perceived to be struggling a little bit now. I've probably seen it as the best opportunity that we'll have to pick up a win in the recent games. And yeah, so you don't often expect, you know, somebody to come flying out of the traps like that, do you? And attack you straight off. So, like, we were quite lucky not to get caught cold at the start.
I slightly disagree with it in a sense, because I think, well, in terms of, sorry, going to win the game, I did think we had a chance, because for all Leeds, the Leeds match the week before was, obviously I haven't chatted to you about that really, it was a bit of a shambles in some regard. I actually enjoyed the game, and I thought we did look a threat at times, and I thought we could hurt Watford. We're always going to hurt any team, we're saying it on the pitch, like, but I was worried about, as you say,
will you keep a tally chart on this? That's one.
I'll talk about Martin if you want. But obviously, when you're playing a team like Watford and they're at home, I kind of do expect them to really come out the traps. And I agree. I mean, we could have been 1-0 down in 90 seconds. And you know, certainly me and Mark have agreed sometimes that we actually start games well. We've often said, oh, we'll start all right there. Yeah. And then after 20 minutes, we're done for.
We'll have an initial burst.
Yeah, gets your hopes up, really. You're like, oh, actually, maybe they have done some of the training this week, but and then normally it falls flat.
Maybe from the kickoff, I'm just that used to seeing people just putting it out and touching the corner flag. So when they actually break and try and have a go at early on,
I was a surprise. I do agree with you. You know, when them had that, Dollar did very well. I thought, Jesus, here we go.
So I haven't discussed this. Was the Leeds game Dollar's first game back?
It was, yes.
So what were your thoughts on that, Decker?
I definitely agreed with correct the decision. And I don't get as wrong. I felt sorry for Woodman in some ways, because I mean, a lot of the goals he conceded, he had absolutely no chance on. Most of them were pens anyway. But I didn't feel confident with him being there.
Do you feel as a Woodman, that's his chance gone now?
Gone. Yeah.
Because obviously Dollar's going to come back in. Dubravka's back training.
Yeah.
So it's going to be between those two
again. It would take another absolute crisis for him to be back in again.
So would you expect Woodman to go out on loan maybe in January?
If Dubravka comes back fit and, you know, seems okay, then I agree.
I've sidetracked there, but
he has to, doesn't he? He has to go back out on loan just to, again, try and get his confidence back up a bit, because it's going to have taken a hit with particularly after the Man United game, where, you know, he's perceived to be at fault for the goals. So
that's terrible. Yeah.
He needs to get a run of games and get, you know, try and get his confidence back up. Obviously, we'd be playing in the 23s and stuff like that, but it's not the same. So if we can get him out of a championship team again, then it'll be good for him and hopefully keep that development going. Because
speaking of goalkeepers, I actually forgot about Rob Elliott played for Watford. Obviously, he couldn't play against us, of course, because of the... But I forgot
Danny Rose as well.
Danny Rose.
Sissoko's
there.
Let's be fair, I did think he'd score. I mean, I just thought it was written. I mean, he doesn't score many goals, but I had a feeling, you know what I mean? But
Dan Gosling's there as well, I think.
Is he?
Is he?
He just made that up.
No.
Pretty sure. He's not Bournemouth.
I'm sure he went to Watford.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
People that are listening or watching, is Dan Gosling at Watford? I need a bullshit bell.
We had one of them at the weekend.
It was just you. I've gone off track there. Right. The game itself, I don't want to dissect it. Like, excuse me.
Yeah, he does. You're right. He's right. He's
Are you being dependent on?
Do you know what happened? I had like cold for like last month for a couple of weeks and then got rid of it. Then it came back like the week later. So I'm at the end of it again. I've got that horrible little cough where you cough like every couple of minutes.
That's what I'm blaming like for the start of this, because I didn't feel our clever at the start of the week.
So we've got a mention say Paul McManus says Dan Gosling is playing in India. Then Daryl says, I believe Dan Gosling is there. So he's not in India, apparently. So the game itself, as a neutral watching that game, it's very similar to the Leeds game, where it's back and forwards.
Yeah.
There's not much action in the middle of the field, really, where it's teams just basically wasting time.
Attacking, isn't
it? It was end-to-end at times.
I think we defended better than we did against Leeds.
We did, but I thoroughly enjoyed the new approach of seeing how fast we can get up that bastard field and actually the chances that Saint created for the rest of his teammates. I think we had at least five of them had a chance because of Saint, including Saint himself, because he had a few opportunities. But I'm not saying the entertainers are back like Steve Bruce, far from that. But it is more entertaining. We're not getting points, but it is more entertaining.
We've had that change of formation that we've been crying on about and shouting about for weeks and weeks. We saw the result of it against Leeds when we did adopt it and we started attacking. We at least started with it this week, and it played to the strengths that we have within the team. It allows us to free up more in midfield. It allows us to get the ball to our front runners quicker and stuff like that. And it shows that when we do attack and we attack and hit with pace and with numbers, because that definitely happened, is that we can cause problems.
I think what we need to look at, Decker, as well, is that Saint is in form here. Saint is literally running the show from the first second, the first ball kicked, Saint's involved in every single thing. I was worried about losing Wilson.
Yeah.
Lose Saint from that team. And we are absolutely dreadful football team.
Oh, you're in huge trouble. I mean, it's bad enough losing Wilson. And I know I've seen a lot of people commenting, rightfully so. If you had Wilson on the field, you'd probably win that game.
Yes.
We didn't have a finisher. Mm. Having said that, I mean, some of the chances wouldn't have fell to him. I don't believe some of them. But anyway, that doesn't matter. To go back, I think what's really important to say as well is we all know the problems, right, at the club, and we all know the problems with Steve Bruce, and we've talked about them for so long. What's important to remember is we are just discussing this game. Like, do you know what I mean? I think sometimes when you're talking about the game, you might start sounding really positive and people might think, well, we're shite, blah, blah, blah. We know we are. But in isolation on that particular game, I thought we played well. I really did. I thought the setup was bang on. Mark's talked about the formation I agreed with. And at similar times, it reminded us of the Leicester game away where we were really hurting them on the break, really hurting them. And in fairness, what I have to say is you probably expect that. You are playing Watford. I mean, if there's a game you can dominate, surely it's going to be against Watford.
You're going to expect more opportunities against those sort of teams.
But, you know, other than for all I put on Twitter that it reminded us of the Steve McLaren days in terms of playing well and not getting much, it wasn't bad, was it? It wasn't bad. And it definitely is better on the eye than the previous, however, God knows how long it feels like it's been. You know what I mean? Ultimately, we're not winning games. Like,
that's the worrying thing, that the football might look better, but the results are probably worse right now.
Well, the problem you've got there is if you cannot win when you're playing well, I have zero faith in we're winning when we play badly. I really don't think we can. I mean, look at the Southampton game. If you go back a couple of weeks, Christ, that the first half an hour there was the worst I've probably ever seen, if I'm honest. But, you know, we have changed a little bit, and it definitely is on the formation that if Hayden moving further up and perhaps playing four at the back, there's still issues there. I mean, God, there's still massive issues. But same through the middle, for all we've banged on and said, and I have, he's better from the left. He is a real threat up there, like a real threat. But he's not really an out-and-out forward, is he? He's not a striker. I know he's up there, but 1 minute he's right, he's left, he's coming deep. There's a few moments where he played Willock through, he played Murphy through. He is deep, isn't he? But still, he's through the middle, though, and he's causing loads of trouble.
I think that there's a couple of chances, and we'll get onto it, there's a couple of chances where he plays that ball in on the halfway line. To release players.
Yeah, twice. Yeah.
And for us saying, like he's isolated up top, he's grafting his arse off. Something I never thought would probably see from Saint when it comes to the fact of coming, dropping deep to take the ball forward. I always just expect the Saint just hover around the final third, pick the ball up there, then run. And to be fair, as each week passes by, he improves, and that's what you want to see. We saw him improve his end product. We've saw him improve in regards to passing the players. There was a tweet out earlier, people saying I took it the wrong way, where there was a tweet of a video saying, this is why Saint doesn't pass the ball. And every time he passed it, the players missed the thing. But that clip showed him passing the ball, so I couldn't get it in my head what was meant by that.
Yeah, well, I think I know what you mean, because people are saying that he hogs it too much. And I sometimes laugh and joke, go, I wouldn't pass it to any of them either. I just try, you know, if I was... And we'll come to a bit about the Longstaff chance and stuff like that, but to comment on what you're saying, what is massively important, though, is getting people beyond Saint in their moments. Yeah. And you know, for all we'll come on to Murphy, and I've criticised him, you know, he's made a great run. He's made a great run to get beyond Saint so late on, and Saint's played him in. I know I've jumped right at the end there, but Saint has done... I mean, I'll even go back to that Leeds game just for a second because I wasn't here. My God, he was taking the piss out of their play. Like, really taking the piss at times. I think every goal we've scored, he's either assisted or scored himself. I think the Longstaff goal will go down as an assist, which is a bit out of the top because he banged it in from 25 yards. Like, but yeah, you know, and I think Mark's going to now bring me back down to earth and have a right go. But he's amazing.
But what I would just like to point out was there was another 10 players on the on the pitch that playing for Newcastle United. It wasn't a one-man show.
Absolutely not, no. Absolutely
it's always not. A one-man show when Sainsbury's.
Sometimes it feels that I think that's unfair because there was definitely players on that pitch on Saturday that I thought had very good games. Yes, Saint grabs the headlines because he's exciting and he's direct and stuff like that, but I thought, for instance, Joe Linton, I thought was brilliant on Saturday, the way that he was holding the ball up, the strength that he was showing, dropping in, his link-up play, which again we talked about last week, the link-up play between him and Saint. I thought Longstaff had, you know, again, this is something that we mentioned last week, he's been steadily getting better and better as each game on, and I can only look at that and say he's getting back to where he was. Mm. He's a lot higher up the pitch. We saw that with the amount of chances that he had for long-range shots and stuff like that. Yeah, obviously, he got the goal as well. So there's
would definitely, you say that's because of games? Because he's getting more games?
Yeah, I think that definitely plays a part in it. Is he's getting his match fitness back. He's getting a run of games because even when he was coming at the teams, he was only getting minutes here, minutes there, or the odd couple of games because he was coming in to cover an injury or something like that. But he's now played six games on the bounce here, and he's for me, he's definitely improving.
I'm not even sure. Mate. I don't think he's.
We thought he was done, didn't we? Like you know, with his performances,
especially
that
the rumors
seen
not so long ago
and stuff like that. Yeah, that well, you know, everybody talked about how. That he wasn't the same player since Rafa had gone and all of that kind of thing, and I think it's just that
which
bit
was
of
true,
time to
which
come. Was based true, on right? those performances at the time. But you know,
the best thing that I liked about that situation with Longstaff is that he had two carbon copy chances, and he does really well. I know it's off target, but the difficult chances, and we've seen this. I'm not sure what goal it was, but he's so calm when the ball lands to him on the edge of the box.
Yeah.
His first touch at the edge of the box. He sets himself up perfectly.
He's very confident in striking the ball, isn't he, from distance?
I've seen this stat. I just try and find it now. I know stats can be manipulated, but obviously played the full game. Passes 29. Jules won 10. Final third passes was 10, and he recovered the ball 3 times. I thought the passes in the final third, 10, was really positive. I've seen these stats before where he's never in the final third. And obviously just touching on what you're saying about being, up the field a bit more.
Yeah.
And I thought so many times the ball dropped him outside the box and he was lacing it every time he was hitting it. There's one that went just wide of the post, probably should have been better, but then
the second one where the goalkeeper, he's just so flat footed.
Yeah.
And like he sees it later, the Cooper, to be fair. And if that hits a target, he can't do anything because he doesn't even see it.
Yeah.
And it's inches. And so is the one just before that. It's only a couple of minutes before that. But in the end, he got his goal. And what a strike.
It was a strike. Yeah, it was.
He's on the edge of the left-hand side of the box, and he just curls it in the top corner. Keeper gets a hand on it. If that's my goalkeeper, I'm not happy that he hasn't kept that out. I have to be honest with that. But shot-wise, you're pulling your faces if you think that he's clearly beaten.
He should save it.
I think he's well beaten by it.
Mate, it doesn't even hit his fingertips. It's a side
he gets
of his hand.
He gets his hand on it, but I think it's the... Obviously, where he puts it is right in the top corner. He's hit it with some venom. He's got to get everything behind that to keep that out.
I think if your keeper gets even a fingertip of that, he has to save it.
What? Like as if your hand's not going to bend back if it's hit with that?
It shouldn't, no.
But it's going in the top corner of that. So even the slightest little touch on that, he should be able to put it over the ball.
It kind of almost helps it in a bit. It's weird.
It's a weird one. If you look back, it's not a fingertip. See,
no, it's not.
It comes off kind of there, doesn't
it? Yeah.
I always have this, I've said it for years, is I would truthfully say, if you said to Carson now, do you think you should have kept that out?
Foster.
Sorry, apologize.
They might not know.
Think of Scott Carson.
Would be like, I would have kept it out.
See, I think he would say yes.
He was a Man City, wasn't he, Scott Carson?
I think he's still learning.
I think he would say you should keep it out. That's how I feel about it. Do you know what I mean? You know, on about players. Sorry, I'm not necessarily seeing particularly this game in parts, but the player who is honestly has just surpassed my expectations is Mankio. He is being
great,
brilliant since coming back. Honestly, brilliant since coming back.
What I want to mention, just while we're on the subject of Longstaff, there's a comment in there. I'm not sure who it was. I'll see if I can find it. I apologize, it's too far up. Does it worry you if Shelby's fit? You're probably going to see Longstaff drop out.
I'm not sure if he will, based on the fact that he is coming into decent foot. Unless he has a drop off in his performances and stuff like that, it would be hard to to drop him based on the improvement that he's shown. Plus, he's a lot more suited to going forward, isn't he, than a Shelvey would be. What are you going to do, revert back and have Shelvey and Hayden sit and hold?
Probably, because this is what we've done for so long.
I agree. I think you could play Shelvey, Hayden, and then have Willock being that person who's bombing on. You know, I still personally think Shelvey is a miss to the midfield. I know he has his massive criticism, but I still think he's calmness in midfield and then being able to pick a pass and manage the game in the sense of control the pace of the game.
That would be my worry, is that he would control in the pace of the game.
Too slow.
Slowing it down.
Yeah. That's a fair comment.
It is a fair point, which I hadn't thought
of. If you look at particularly yesterday, Saturday, the way that we were breaking, if you're giving the ball to Jonjo Shelvey in those positions in midfield where we're picking the ball up, it isn't going far forward as fast as that.
Unless it's way forward.
Yeah, unless it's over the top ball kind of thing. Whereas because I see, again, Joe Willock was getting back to those kind of the runs that he was making in at the back end of last season.
Joe Willock has made the most tackles in the Premier League so far this season.
Jesus.
Doesn't surprise us, because he has been having to play deeper and deeper, and we haven't seen that other side of him of being able to break forward. But and look, it probably has a lot to do with the opposition that we're up with, but it meant that Hayden could just sit there and you had Longstaff and Willock bombing forward. Because how many times did you see both of those up on the edge of the box, along with Joe, along with Saint? You know, you had lines of players across the box. And weirdly, I thought it was a strange tactic from Watford, because they almost seemed comfortable to allow it to have the ball and to have shots from distance. Because I even remember Miguel Barón, like, hitting one from probably about 20 or 30 yards.
That was one when it fell to Joe.
Keeper saves it, and then Joe has the follow-up. Yeah. Where they didn't seem to be closing down that. They're like, almost letting we have the shot and have that pot look.
It's probably because keeper was on such form.
He made some very good saves.
We've seen this. I hate to be that person, but we've seen it a few times this season. I think it was Southampton game, their keeper pulled off two, three unbelievable saves. I think we hit the post in that game as well, if I remember right. That's at the Leeds game.
Yeah, Richie.
But once again, you're looking at that game on Saturday, and the chances are there. And normally, most of those chances find the back of the net. And there's some... You look at it in live action, and you're thinking, oh, it's just a shit shot. But it's not... You look at the Joe Linton chance.
There was some shit shots, mind.
But the ones which we'll come to, so the Joe Linton one, he does everything right where the ball comes back out. That's a good save.
That's from Mickey's shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which in itself was a decent save as well, because it comes through it.
So he parries it out, bodies. And Joe Linton's running in on the box, something which we've said from day one that Joe Linton needs to do more. Follow balls into the box. He did it. And as a striker, you've got two options there. You open your body up and try and curl around the keeper, which is nigh on impossible, or you try and drill it through his legs. And he's try to put it through his legs. Keeper saves that. What else was it? There was a one from
Willock. Was a good save.
Is the one where it just looks like it hits the keeper, but if you look at it, he saves it with his left hand.
Doesn't he? Tits his hand out.
There'll be more.
I think as well, what's important to remember is
Teddy, good header from it. When it loops over and takes it from the back post.
That was just around that time when we really started controlling the game, in fairness to it. I mean, we're sounding really positive and we still didn't win, but we still have problems.
But by half time, we had lots of reasons to be positive.
No doubt about it. I think we've sat and spoke so many times about never looking like scoring a goal. So many times. You know, we never look like scoring. They keep having a touch the ball, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes.
So the definitely the last couple of games, I'd say anyway, too, there has been a bit of a change in that.
Do you know who's in charge of going forward?
Apparently Jones, yeah. So they say, like, I agree. And it's one of them, though. It's typical Newcastle, isn't it, where would it be everyone's lips, we should be 3 or 4 at half-time, 100%. Certainly 2 or 3, and we're going to concede.
Mm. Yeah.
And obviously it went and happened. And it was such a soft goal. First of all, how the corner was actually given away. Miggy Spoon's one, stupidly out for a corner. And I remember my mate said, he went, we'll concede from this, you know. And it's a really, really soft
goal. The second time that's happened this season Lascelles done it earlier in the season.
Yeah, that's against Villa.
Where he just slices out for throwing, isn't it?
It was a throw, right?
And just comes straight in. Yeah. Goal.
That one was a great goal. But I get what you're saying. Well, mistakes are getting badly punished. Yeah. Badly punished.
Yeah. And it's so frustrating to watch because, yes, Watford had some chances that they did, but
they were the much better team the first probably 20 minutes, 25 minutes of the second half.
I can't say, apart from that initial 90 seconds, I can't remember Darlow being tested.
And you know, ironically here, when I say this, I said that about Woodman early on. He was picking the ball up, and I thought, you haven't had a save. You haven't had a save to make. As bad as we've been, by the way, I keep saying that. But I thought against Watford, we were by far and away the better team. However, I agree, them just seem more up for it. Yeah. Well, they couldn't really play much worse in the first half, really, but they seem more.
It's inevitable, isn't it? Like, I mean, we've seen it time and time again. We have a very good first half, and then we revert to type. We start sitting back, we start defending deeper and deeper, and all of a sudden we can't get out of our own half.
We can't put two halves together, can we? No. We really struggle for that.
Thankfully, we did come back into it.
We did.
Into the second half, and then
absolutely did, yeah.
Took the game back to them.
Yeah.
But it took them scoring to do it.
Let's get on to the key talking points, which we saw over the last 48 hours. So the first one, I'll go right back to the first half, the elbow on Miggy. What's your opinions on that? So you can see what the player's trying to do, but I think it's a thing where he steps away from the ball to come into Almiron. Almiron goes downhill and holding his face, but it hits his neck.
There's definitely an elbow there. I'm not sure there was a intent to elbow him. Yes, his body shape and stuff like that means he catches him. But for me, the telling thing, and he hasn't gave it the little glance to see where he is.
I think the intent is there to elbow, just not in his neck.
Well, that was the other thing. It catches him more in
the chest neck.
But Miggy goes down holding his face. But
yeah.
I'd probably agree with Mark. I'd probably say, I mean, in the time it happened, I was like, whoa, I think he's going to do him there. Mm. I felt that way, but probably not.
Probably not.
I think it was, there's one I'm really interested in.
The action of the arm going back.
Yes,
and Miggy going down.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. He's chucked an elbow
can
there.
Can you look at that, though, and look at it and think, different player to red card.
Oh, for Shelby. Well,
so that's a comment. That's what's made us prominent. Brandon Hildrew says, if that's Carroll, it's a red. If it's Shelby, if it's Mitrovic, it's a red.
Yeah,
I was going to point up then, and I realised it looked like I was pointing at heaven. Mitrovic, but there's a flag of Mitrovic on the ceiling. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is a good point because the name comes before Joey Barton and all the rest of them. Probably would have been.
But that's where then VAR would step in.
Yeah,
you'd hope already as well. So,
yeah,
it's a strange one. What was your one that you?
I just would not. I want to see if he's mentioned it because I think there should have definitely been a red card, and I mean blatant. And I've never seen anyone talk about it. And I wonder if he was maybe seen it.
I can remember something.
Is it in the box? Is it when they were ragging each other around in the box?
No. For me,
I can remember something, but I can't remember what
Rose,
it was. Now
Rose is last man, and he takes Miggy out. Miggy has turned him and he is through on goal.
Edge of the box.
He is through on goal. And
Tove on that far side.
Either right hand side. I think Saint plays him in, I think it is.
Happened twice.
He does a lovely turn on him and Arla beat him. And Rose just takes him out because he has to take him out because he's last man. He gets booked. I didn't see anyone complain. I didn't commentators didn't say much. And I seen it twice afterwards and I was like, hang on a second. He is last man. Like he should have got. For me, it was a stone red card. I thought I really did. I was just surprised. I didn't watch much today. Nothing. Not even on Twitter or nothing. I was like, maybe am I wrong because I'm the only one thinking that. But when I seen it again, I was like, I'm sorry. He has turned Rose and Rose had to wipe him out. And for me, that's a record.
Adrian says, nobody's elbowing players on purpose nowadays with VAR around. Mirovic is still elbowing them every single week. He doesn't give a shit. I think a lot of the time, I know we're saying players know VAR is there, but they will forget in the heat of the moment.
Of course
they'll forget because we wouldn't see a single red card. Unless it was an accident.
Yeah.
An accident?
But I don't think there was
an accident.
It's an accident. I don't think there was like, it wasn't in a situation or a position or anything like that where you would think that it would warrant a, you know, something like that. Like that kind of action.
It was just,
I think he was running back with the ball, wasn't he? Honestly, just think he's trying to make himself
bigger.
Big, get in front of the ball.
I think it's a yellow card,
like
actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I don't did he even get booked?
We've got a free kick, and we're all kicking off about we're having a free kick because Almir.
Because then did he not get booked later on for another one, and then he got, was it him or another player?
You look like you went and fired for Joshua on the night time. He was a bit double.
There was somebody else where they'd done a couple of fouls, and then they got another one, and he got booked, and we're like, he should be off by now. And then 2 seconds later, he was hauled off and substituted. So the manager was obviously looking at it, thinking he's getting himself sent off. Yeah. Can't remember who it was now, but just wondering if it was the same one.
Next talking point, which is the major one. Jacob Murphy.
Well, do you not want to talk about Saints first when he passes the long stuff?
Oh yeah,
that's been a huge one.
About that one. So Mark smiling. Yeah, look at that little grin. Smiling.
Because he can have a go at him.
So right, okay. So Saints, another great run. I think we'll have to address that first of all. Fantastic by Saints.
Great pass, great ball initially as well.
I think overall...
Didn't they give the ball away? Them give it away, yeah, didn't they? They were playing funny.
But I think overall, like team performance with players linking up with each other was great. There were so many players involved in different things within the game. Okay. And it wasn't just the likes of Wilson having a chance over and over again, like we've seen so many times this season.
There was four or five players having shots.
But that's because we're getting the numbers forward in support.
Exactly, and that's what we've been missing so far. But, right, so Saint does what he normally does. So he goes towards the right, and Foster.
Yeah.
So Foster at that point, you can see he's kind of scrambling.
He's miles out of his goal as well.
Yeah, and we saw that a few times. And Saint runs in on the box. He tries his few step overs, and he gets past him. He does get past him. I don't even think he gets a touch on the ball, Foster.
Well, I wouldn't say past him, but
because of the defenders being there.
Yeah, like
he's beat the keeper. He's 100% beat the keeper.
There's a bit of a heavy touch in. Even when you watch it back, there's an angle and it just you cannot tell. But I'm not sure whether Foster did just get a little touch on it before it goes to long stuff.
Just a touch on.
But Saint does have a heavy touch inside, which is what I think allows him to get the little touch that then deflects it over to long stuff.
So it's basically last ditch at that point by Saint. He knows that he's losing the ball and he just tows it.
Yes.
Yeah.
To long stuff. There's no control in the pass because he's leaning back. He's going to go and he's lost the ball already. Yep. Long stuff, it's an awkward ball. He's running anticipating that he's just going to slot that in the back of the net. It falls to, well, I'm saying it falls when it doesn't really fall.
Up, isn't it?
Long stuff, he skies it. Are we being too harsh to say that it's an open goal at that point? Of course. It's
an open goal because there's no goalkeeper in it. But there's no defenders in front of him.
He's just been slotted.
He hasn't got the ball at his foot and he's just tapping it in.
Mm.
The ball's in the air. He's having to reach for it and stuff like that, isn't it? So
Decker, I know we discussed this before we obviously went live.
I'll not be as heated about it this time. I don't think I'm quite calm about it now. I was quite heated before.
So I think your words were, he's a professional footballer.
Yeah, well, first of all, what I'd say is, Saint, I've seen something on Twitter where someone's freeze framed it and going, why on earth hasn't he just shot from there? And I have to be honest, when you see the screenshot for that
split second.
Yeah, not even that, is it? I mean, a millisecond of life, I give you it. You've got an open goal, pretty much, right? You could bend it. But if you see the replay in real time, certainly the one that's behind their goal, there's a one. Saint looks like he collects the ball, but he immediately looks back. Is it? I think he's making sure there's no one behind him. By doing that, that chance is gone because Carson has moved back in. However, the pass to Longstaff's a tough one. Like it's not the best of passes to him. It's not.
No, I think you would normally describe it as a hospital ball.
No. There's nobody like coming in towards him. There's no 50-50 going on. I still think if you sat Longstaff down and said, do you think you should have scored? He'd answer yes. I really do. He'd say, yeah, I should have hit the target. Like
I'd be asking Saint before that. Do you not think you should have scored, son?
So what should have Saint done then?
Well, you've just said that he had a millisecond to take that shot. I was watching that game, screaming at him to shoot, to chip, to do something. So that lasted longer than a millisecond.
I think he had the whole goal in this one.
He didn't know Longstaff had the whole goal. He didn't have the whole goal.
I'm pretty neutral at this point.
How many have the whole goal? The keeper's there?
The keeper's right out of his goal. The goal is gaping. All he's got to do is
chip someone from 35 yards.
Chip him.
All right, okay. All right.
Bearing in mind how far he's off the line, all he's got to do is get it over him. Even if he then follows it in.
I think that's what he was actually.
He's got a little tap in or something like that. hit it first time, he had like the amount of space that's there, he could literally side foot that and roll it in from that distance around the keeper.
So my opinion on it, right, that freeze frame, yes, it looks like weird shot, it's just sitting keeper, yeah, right? Well, no, over the left hand shoulder, there's more players there. The freeze frame, if you look at it again, the ball is nowhere near Saint. Saint's already hit that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's nowhere near it. So everyone's looking at that.
Thinking, so therefore, on his next touch,
but
that's when
his next touch, he comes back. Like, his next touch isn't over.
Exactly.
But that's because the goalkeeper's movement. If you look at it back.
The goalkeeper's going that way anyway. The goalkeeper is running that way to cover to close the angle down. So
and he closes the angle down well.
He's still on the edge of his own box, though.
He's closing the angle down. The only thing that Sane can do, is put it over him.
Chip the keeper, or...
You say that, though. Chip the keeper as if, like... But as easy as that.
If we're looking at that, then yes.
But you're also saying in the next instance... Because you look at Jacob Murphy's chance.
Because he shouldn't have tried to chip the keeper because he's an idiot. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Because it's not an easy skill.
And I'll tell you why.
The goalkeeper's not easy.
Why are you saying that, though?
Why?
Hindsight.
Yeah, but that's exactly what you're saying.
And I'm going to say that. It's the exact situation. It's looking at what's happening on that pitch. My initial reaction is when he got that ball was, yeah, he hit it first time. When he doesn't and he takes another chip, another touch, it's chipping. Get it over him.
So if he squares that the long staff and he taps in, what do you say then? Just to say hypothetically, he does everything the same, but long staff puts it in.
But he doesn't pass the ball.
Well, I'm well aware of that. Imagine if everything was the same. Long staff still had to stretch everything. Right. If he
passes the ball over long staff and scores, I'll say good goal. Great goal.
I think what we have to remember, though, is that, yes, we're sitting here and looking at the likes of freeze frames and stuff like that. The pace that Saints run at and the speed that he's going at, it's really hard to try.
I had the time watching that game to shout out at least three or four times in the space of him having it.
You've got to remember where...
I'll tell you why it happened.
His brain is in the game running fucking wild.
His brain is in the game. If that, he wants to go around the keeper and tap it in.
I'm telling you.
And you've just summed it up. He gets to that ball and he cuts back inside.
Because the
goalkeeper's there. So he wants to go around the keeper, beat the keeper, get into the box and tap it in. Now listen, if he pulls that off, I'm pulling myself off. Because it would be unbelievable to see it done. But sometimes you just don't need to. And how many times have you said you just don't need to beat that man?
Do you know what it is?
We're talking about chipping
and lobbing the keeper here. But I think.
Are you saying he hasn't got it in him?
No, I'm not saying that.
We've seen him do it time and time again.
I've never seen him chip a keeper.
I'm saying that. And I think that the easier option is to try and just bend it around him.
Yeah.
That's the easier option.
So when he gets to that ball, don't come back inside. Put it round the keeper. Or just take a touch to the right, give yourself a better angle. Yes, the keeper's coming over there. Commit him more, take a right, get him out there, then come back inside.
So it's gone anyway, okay?
It's gone anyway, right?
I'm not using it
to bang him over the head, saying he's, you know, he's terrible, it's a disgrace.
Sounds like it.
The only reason I'm probably talking about it is because I've seen Jacob Murphy come in for so much shit for what happens at the end, but then nobody thought about the situation with Saint until today. I feel the different chances,
but Saint is definitely
both one-on-one with the goalkeeper.
I'm not saying they both took the wrong decision. I'm not saying that Saint's not void of any criticism. He definitely should have done. I totally agree, but I honestly think chipping the goalkeeper is on at the very first moment. Once he takes the touch and turns, that motion of being able to chip's gone. It's gone. It's gone. So then he doesn't really have much else to do except run at him. The lollipops didn't quite work. He's thought the keeper's going to sell himself and it's going to work. It didn't work. That's fine. It's the pass to Longstaff's the problem. I don't really mind the rest of it. If the pass to Longstaff's not fine,
I don't think it was a pass. I think he's overcooked.
Well,
his little touch inside, and then he's just poked it out, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, an attempt at a pass then we'll give, right?
So it goes down as a successful pass.
It does. And I still believe if you sat Longstaff down, you go, I should have scored there. He didn't. Fair enough. He didn't, right? Longstaff, yeah, sorry, apologise. First of all, Longstaff did really well to get in that area. I'll give him that. Because a lot of people, honestly, would just stand there and go, I'll best here. Yeah. And let him go on his own.
There is somebody in the comments that said Longstaff should have taken a touch. I don't think he can take a touch.
He was, he was 3 foot off the floor with, like, with his go-go gadget.
Why was he?
He was stretched, like jumping and stretching. For
I think he's anticipating the ball just to go ahead of him a little bit.
Right, okay.
And he's leaning back, trying to just reach it. And
yeah, so if he just stood still, the ball would have come to him.
Probably just hit off him.
Yeah. He kind of just like, he's almost like trying to like slide in, but it's off the ground, so he's having to like jump in.
It wasn't an easy challenge.
It's not easy like me doing this catch.
Yeah, okay.
See?
Yeah. Oh, take your shit, man. Yeah. You're a professional. How did you not catch this?
No, yeah, I just... I just chip someone from 30 yards and that, it's just if it's nothing. Like, that's what I sometimes laugh at, where it's like, well, I just chip.
No,
I'm like, I need
the initial, the initial thought is when he's running onto it, is
that's why you don't see that goal that often, because it's pretty
to
hard,
hit it.
Right?
What's the difference between a chip and a lob?
Lob's more lifted.
Yeah,
more area to do it.
So you lift this?
Yeah, so a lob, I would class, to be honest with you, a lob is more what Sane could have done because he's further out. A chip's normally like a Messi when you almost one-on-one, you chip the keeper.
So that keeper's going down, you just chip it over.
That's what I'd class as a
so lob.
Is that not a dink?
Like, I would say, like, Albers against Schmeichel's more of a lob. That's not a chip. Like,
yeah. I don't know, lob, chip, it's the same.
It is, I know what you
kind
mean.
Of thing, is it?
Yeah. But no,
chip means like...
I mentioned it because there's a few people saying that you should have lobbed and they should have chipped him. So what's the difference?
Yeah. The lob is the loft, isn't it?
Yes.
Which is lob up and down.
That's right.
Is a lob David Beckham's goal?
100%.
From halfway line.
Yeah.
That's a lob.
Yeah. From distance.
That's all Sane had to do.
I think it chips closer to the goalkeeper.
Chip is up and down.
That's what I feel, yeah. But it was a great chance.
Get this area.
He should have done better. No question.
Yeah, so you had an opportunity to lob and chip him.
Going from one chip to the next chip.
Well, this is, and I'm going to say again, everyone must have seen before this, the pass to Willock, by the way, for Sane's pass to Willock was unbelievable, by the way. But I'll now move forward.
Which was another one-on-one.
God, what a pass that was. Anyway, yes, that one. Again, Murphy does very well, right, to get where he gets at the last minute of the game. Sane does brilliantly to find him, you know, just turns, sees him, bang, he's in.
Pace, absolute pace.
The pace is unbelievable. Now, well, before I have my go, what's your thoughts on
that? I want to address the fact that ball from Sane is nigh on
perfect. Even his touch, he gets it out in front of him, and that's when it goes wrong. All he's got to do, as we've all seen,
got it, chip it.
Is no. Well, he does if he actually does it.
He's just got to hit it,
doesn't he?
You think hit it?
Because I definitely don't think first time he's got to hit it.
First time.
What, when from the halfway line?
No, when he takes that, when he takes the touch to the edge of the box and comes onto it, when he then attempts to.
So you mean maybe second or third, perhaps? You don't mean the long touch.
No. I mean, right, like when he sets himself to.
Okay, all right.
To strike it. He should strike it.
I was with him.
Or.
Really?
Okay. Oh, you got another one.
Or.
Okay.
Because he's got to do what
he's only going to say.
He's going to do what he doesn't do. He's going to do what he doesn't do.
He went.
Or he's just got to take around him because Foster is so flat-footed. He's rooted to the ground. Just knock it past him.
And I said this before we started recording. You knock it past him. If you don't get on the edge of the ball, there's only one reason why that, because you're being brought down.
Yeah, keep us bringing you down. Or the defender's pulling you down from behind. Or
now, I would say I've said before, right, that, oh, yeah, just lob him. You've got a millisecond to think about something, right? However... This is so easy, in my opinion. He's running in a straight line
with a pace. He's cool. Fast as out. Like that.
45 yards to decide what
just knock it forward again. Yeah. He'll be past. Yeah. Thingy before you. I said, Carson.
Sorry.
I don't know why I keep saying that.
He ran that fast. He ran to the Etihad.
Like, just knock it past him. You've got all the right hand side. He would have been. And as you say, the keeper would have took him out, or the lad behind him would have fouled him, or whatever. But. Even all of that, if he doesn't want to go around him, which clearly he didn't, that was a diabolical attempt. That was diabolical. Willock, for example, on his one, drilled it, right, and the keeper saved it, right? Yeah, fair enough. You've got to either slide it past the keeper, but that attempted a chip from there. It would have never had the pace.
Too close anyway.
Far too close. Even if it had went over the keeper, even if it had went over him, there would have been no chance that, you know... It was appalling, wasn't it? It was appalling.
It was horrendous.
It was appalling.
But Sane's wasn't.
No, it wasn't. No, I'm not going to. It definitely. Well, do you think that was worse than Murphy's?
I think they were both as equally bad as
Oh, no.
Honestly, this guy's unreal. This guy's
Murphy's one of the worst I've seen in a long time.
Both choose the incorrect choice.
I think Murphy's is very similar to missing from the 6-yard box.
It isn't. It's still not easy.
It was a sick nether, wasn't it? Because it was just so. It probably feels worse because it was so late on.
I agree.
And it's the attempt.
The reason why it feels worse is because Watford were 2-1 up at one point until VAR, and they were dominating at that point. Then we get that chance, and it's the 94th minute, it is. 94th minute, and you're thinking, Jesus Christ, we're going to nick this at the end.
Can you believe you're in that position like that, running through on goal on the 94th minute? You just wouldn't expect it, would you?
So Murphy knows fine. Well, if that ball hits a net, we won that. Well, Sane probably thought that the other week.
Nobody wants to score more than the lad. Obviously, I've been critical of him. And sometimes he doesn't want to miss, obviously, but it looked like it. I mean, like, it was that bad. I mean, I still, more and more I watch it, why are you not just running past him?
I don't know why.
Just run past him?
Why he chooses to do that.
Foster, it's a case where
he doesn't do anything, does he?
He just goes.
He just catches it.
Thanks. Thanks.
It's one of the worst you'll see.
Is Corson? I'm saying Corson. Corson.
Fucking hell.
Get in.
Is Foster the one that has the GoPro?
Hello, Man City.
He's
the cycling goalkeeper.
Right. So one of my highlights is when they went up 2-1 up, I want to see that GoPro footage. He turns around at the Newcastle.
He's not allowed it in the Premier League.
2-1. Oh, is he not?
No, so he's had to stop doing it this season.
Oh, because he turned around the Newcastle fans and started doing 2-1, didn't he?
It was nice to see that, though, because he was jumping around, celebrating and giving a 2-1. I think he must have been getting a lot of stick from the fans.
I don't think he would have done that for nothing. Like, he must have been getting grief all game. Oh, second half, anyway.
Probably going to Carson all game.
Probably, yeah.
Only one score, Carson. No, that was nice to see, but, like, it's...
What's your performance? Because there was a lot of talk...
What's my performance? At least 8.5 out of 10.
I know Roger mentioned this on Extra Time when him and Laura done the first Extra Time in here this week.
Yeah.
So they will be using it from now on, apart from this week, randomly. they're using it from now on, apart from this week.
Except this one.
I can't remember what I was getting. Oh, yeah. So they mentioned Australian referee.
Yes.
So it was an Australian referee where, if you remember a couple of years back, it's the one that was mic'd up. Yeah. You saw the footage on social media.
He was
explaining all decisions. I've seen it on a lot of social media, people criticising the referee, not really controlling the game.
Surprise.
It didn't stand out like a sore thumb to me, is what a lot of people are making it.
I felt Watford fans, certainly from the audio, they weren't happy at all. They were saying, what is he doing? And all that shit, and losing control of it. And so even the commentator mentioned it as well. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes when you're not at the game, like, for example, the Leeds game, he was horrific.
Yeah, he was terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Whereas I spoke a few of my mates who watched on the telly.
His face?
I forgot his name. Where the hell is my name?
Mike Dean.
He was horrendous when you're there. When you're actually in the moment, you're there. Horrendous. I spoke a few of my mates who went to Watford, and they all comment on the ref. But personally, I spoke to people who watched on the TV, and they didn't really say much about
Never stood up.
I don't know if...
I just thought he let the game
flow. Well, saying that, we've just had a discussion about the elbow, which could have been a booking.
Yeah.
We're talking about the red card for Danny Rose, which you mentioned.
Oh, that's honestly true.
I think he let the game flow, and if anything, maybe a little bit.
Oh, a bit I know what he was like. He was too late in giving decisions a lot of time. There was time where the game was still playing, like after a foul. Mm. Then 2 seconds later, he was blowing the whistle to bring it back.
Yeah, but is that not letting the play go and playing the advantage?
What was really weird, because they had the ball, then he passed it back to the defender, and just after he elbowed Miggy, the defender had the ball, and 2 seconds later, he blew his whistle as if he had a shout from the likes of VAR or something like that.
Oh, his lines were something. Yeah. I mean, maybe.
That was really weird. Like, I just thought you need to be like quick out of it with these decisions. If we were on the attack or something, then yes, you let that go. But the fact that Watford had the ball, passed it back to another Watford player, it was really weird timing.
But maybe that's just because he is used to refereeing with VAR there. And having those quick responses that
he was in the championship last season.
Yeah, but obviously when he was over in Australia, all their games, the fact that they mic'd up and they had the VR and it's the constant running. We've seen it from that clip of that there's almost a constant commentary going on in his ear from his assistants, from the fourth official, VR, etc. So that probably he's probably got into that way of refereeing, of that he lets it go and then sees what happened. And then if there is something that comes, he'll use, which I think is good, to be fair, with a referee.
You're not putting
it down on one person being that decision maker. You're actually refereeing and you're officiating as a team, which is what you're supposed to do.
I think when that clip came out from the, is it the A-League in Australia?
Yeah.
I think when that clip, I think everyone...
Well, I'll say he wasn't even in the top league, I think, over there, because I'm sure, is the comments not around...
I don't think
the majors or something like that, or...
I don't think a lower Australian league would have VAR. I mean, I could be wrong there, but I can't imagine.
The one where
he went over to the side and wanted help and he was on the radio?
Yeah, he did. He went and reviewed it.
There might be two then, because there's another one where he's just like similar to like a rugby referee where he's just mic'd up, having those conversations with the players, saying, busy, I know why you're kicking off, but you'll see after the game why I've done that.
Well, I definitely think them sort of things help. They help fans understand more. That isn't it? The frustration from a fan's point of view is, what the hell are you doing? Like, literally, what are you doing? But if you could hear things, I mean...
I'm not talking about hearing them live.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, NFL is a bit different because, I love NFL, whereas them will actually turn the mic on and they'll announce to the stadium what they've done.
Yeah.
10-yard penalty for this reason.
Yeah.
He's done something wrong. You wouldn't do that all the time, of course, but, like, I would be interested to hear Mike Dean. I mean,
I think it's something that you could introduce to the likes of the live feed on the likes of Sky Sports.
If you have it on the commentary, like, obviously not when they're doing it.
No.
But then when they then do a replay or whatever like that, they can play it back to then explain, right, what are they hearing and what are they deciding.
As VAR is the same, when you see them drawing the lines, it'd be interesting to hear them say, right, we think the left back might be playing him on side, we're going to check that. Things like that, do you know what I mean?
Or when it goes to likes of a penalty appeal and VAR say, right, we've got our decision, but we're on the fence with it, maybe you should go and have a look, then we'll debate it.
Yeah.
To see what you think,
and that's what that clip that he sees when he goes over and checks the, I think it's a goal for offside, isn't it?
Yes.
And he's like, I think he's got the flick on, and it's like, I'm not sure. And they start talking, and he's like, right.
Oh, that is the one I've seen.
Yeah, that one.
Because
then
the players not run over and start kicking off, and he starts explaining himself to those players.
I think it's that.
And then when he comes back on and he's reviewed, he then explains to the captain what's happened.
That's right. And I like
that. And the captain even goes, yeah, I know he was offside. It was just the first pass.
Yeah.
And he went, no, he was well offside for that. And you say, right, that's fine. Do you think, having that.
Do you think they'll ever see it in the Premier League?
I do.
I think
eventually.
We'll get there.
I do,
yeah.
I think because, do you know why I think this as well? I think the old school referees, when them all fuck off and retire and that, the newer breed of referee will be more...
Embrace it.
Yes, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, I really do. And I think it will come in.
When you've got the likes of Mike Dean, who just want it to be about him all the time, that's when it won't work.
Absolutely.
But when you've got the new way, I mean, even Clattenburg used to do it. He used to talk to the players. He used to be involved with them. I think that's the key thing is having a relationship with the players. And that then breeds kind of a respect in the decisions that they're making and...
It doesn't unless your relationship's Howard Webb and Man United relationship where you're every penalty you can, but I get what you're saying. Totally agree.
But then when it's like Mike Dean, is that he's just all stuck up. No, nobody's kind of.
I think we'll have to understand the way football's gone now. We've got goal light technology, which works 9 out of 10 times, apart from that time where the referee didn't turn his watch on and Villa stayed up. Sheffield Wednesday,
Sheffield United.
Wednesday, when was the last time they were the Premier League?
Even longer than Sunderland.
So I think now, for your key decisions, referees shouldn't really be getting them wrong because they have those facilities. They've got goal line technology. They've got the VAR studio where there's, 3, 4, 5 referees in there now looking at that. So I think the referee on the pitch now for those key decisions is pretty pointless because he can make the decision, but that doesn't mean it's final. He's just there to stop the play.
But VAR only interrupt when they those believe there's moments. A clear and obvious error. So he could give a decision.
Well, it's not every goal. It's not every goal is like reviewed.
So every goal,
goal is and stuff like that.
Fouls
and red card would be.
But daft little pushes off.
But if there's a foul, for instance, and he gives them a booking, and unless they think it's definitely a red, then they'll let it go. They won't look at it any
which is fair enough, in my opinion, because you can't get the correct decisions because there's always going to be a debate. We sit and debate how a player should have been finishing a ball.
But that's why then, but having the microphone up would help because you'd get the understanding of why they've made that decision, how have they reached that conclusion that that's the right thing to do. And it'll then help stop any of the arguing that you see with, like, well, why is that decision gone that way? It'll stop all of the debate on, like, match of the day and stuff like that, or half time, because the referees gave their reason. They'll probably still debate as to why, whether or not it was the right or the wrong reason.
Oh, listen, someone's still going to hold it.
That's the choice. That's why they've done it. That's their explanation.
I mean, if it wasn't for VAR, we lose that game on the weekend. We've lost the game because it's 2-1. Do you know what I mean? So, and
I quite like, I like VAR if it's getting
when it works.
I agree.
Of course.
You do. I said it when it came in, as long as the right decision's getting made, then that's fine. You know? The problem where I was getting pissed off was where offside's being given. I said Wilson's one against Villa.
Yeah.
We all know it wouldn't have mattered in the long scheme of things, but he's onside, man. Yeah. He's onside.
It's the one where it's an elbow that's offside, it's or a big toe.
Yeah.
Whereas that one, you could immediately see when the ball's played, there's three players well offside.
And I can understand in the moment why the linesman's maybe missed that, because it was fast and furious and all the rest of it. But
I'll jump in, everybody who is watching. If you do just want to throw any questions out, we'll go for another 10 minutes. We've been going nearly an hour there. So we'll go for another 10 minutes.
We'll go to Hatbus if you send loads.
If you want to become a member as well, just while I've got your attention, please do so. It helps us out massively. It's $2.99 a month or $4.99 a month, depending on what you want to donate. You do get extra stuff. I think the last 2-3 weeks has been 3 or 4 videos gone out early.
You get a signed birthday card with Decker on the inside naked.
Yeah, if you want one of that, we'll probably can arrange it.
You get my weekend cookery book.
Yeah, but there's you don't get any of that. You do get what, early.
Why are you saying that? They're probably not signing up and be a membership now.
That's why.
I'm a fantastic cook, have you know.
All right, okay, right. But you can do that. So if you do want to do it, please do so. It helps us out massively. We can keep on doing this sort of thing. Send Mark to Benidorm again for another week, so he's not here next week.
I'll happily go.
Right.
Not sure I'll come back this time. Like.
Julie, no, it's not 10 p.m. If another member comes up, it's not. We're not doing that.
Could be Julie.
We've done that one in lockdown when we've all got drink.
We've all got homes to go to now. That's the problem.
Quite drunk back them days.
Absolutely.
We've got a drive here, so what kind of drinks?
So during lockdown for the new members, we used to do something where if you signed up to become a member or donated like thanks for a fiver, would go on for another 15 minutes. I think one night we went on for an extra hour.
We went on for, and that brought more alcohol,
more cans.
R. Kelly's been found guilty on all counts.
Oh, has he?
Has he? Yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
All right, okay. Welcome to the R. Kelly.
Yeah, well, that's good news.
My body.
That's what Sam was saying. My body's
telling me.
Mark Sam was a love the keeper.
Right, Daryl. Hi, Daryl. How are you doing?
Hi, Daryl.
Daryl says...
Daryl, I enjoyed your podcast this week.
Daryl says, if he's waiting for the 40th anniversary
in the year 2034,
if Dwight had started, he's on first name basis. If Dwight Gale had started the game, would we have been out of sight by half time? I'm saying no, because I'm just doing that because of butterfly effect. It's the only reason.
I'd say no because
Dwight needs 4 chances anyway.
I'd say no because Bruce would have played in right wing. That's the problem. If you put Gale up front, who knows? But when he does bring him on, he plays him in this false right wing thing, and it never works ever. So
I don't think, because you don't know, but we wouldn't have created the chances that we did to get into those positions had a Dwight Gale been on the pitch. But
if he was in the position, probably give the answer yes. You probably would have scored one. I'm just not sure that would have happened that way.
You'd be more confident he'd strike the ball and put it away than somebody else being in that position.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's probably, when you look at the Murphy chance, obviously he came on as a second half substitution. He hasn't played a lot of games recently. Has he came in a bit cold? If that had felt to somebody else that had been on the pitch longer or something like that, would they have had more of the confidence to take in go around?
Next one is from Simon Mather. That says, what's your thoughts on Bruce's comments about Miggy having to earn his number 10 role?
I haven't seen those.
I saw a couple of things on social media. I haven't watched the clip.
Was this after the game or before the game?
Must be after the game, I would imagine. If it has been said, then Bruce is a lot to blame down to that spell that Miggy had.
He's played him out of blooming position for long enough, hasn't he?
It's a strange comment. I mean, everyone's got something to prove to play.
Anybody can earn the position.
Of course they have, yeah. It's just a weird one to say, though, isn't it?
It seems like, from the way that's worded, it seems like it's thrown him under the bus. The bus? Oh, fuck me. I'm not even pissed.
I know
the
what
bus,
you mean. Though.
Kind of.
Yeah, with Scott Carson.
Scott Carson, he's driving.
It's a weird comment, that. It really is. Considering he's never wanted to play in there or played him there at all. Really, in any game. I say he was playing from left centre midfield.
Yeah, but he wants.
So that's a strange one. That's a strange
we need some background to that one.
So Callum Lewis says, what do you think the game is going to be like against Wolves? Now that Jimenez has boosted Wolves' confidence.
Yeah, they've been on a bad run, but I've actually been, certain games I've watched them, for example, the Man United game, they got beat somehow, but they were brilliant for the full game.
Have we got a decent record against Wolves?
Certainly down there we have.
1-1.
That's normally,
it's normally
it's always 1-1.
Gutierrez, Gutierrez not score a winner in two games.
I went to the one when Barr scored and Gutierrez scored a great goal. Mm. Really, really great goal.
Was that St. James? Or
no, that was down there.
Sure he scored in a 2-0
this was win. This was when Wolves were crap, well. Though. That's, well, they've improved.
Yeah, but they have. But their expectations, well, of the guys being sacked, so it hasn't, like, their expectations have changed with the what they did the season before.
The money and Nunes.
The money and that, you know. But it's the worry I've got, truthfully, is look at the teams we have played, right? Southampton's in there, West Ham, well, West Ham's all right. Villa was in there. We've played Watford. We're playing these next. It's a lovely little run, right? And we still haven't won yet.
Rank, like, coming up next.
And that's me worry is, I mean,
oof, I can't wait for Christmas.
Rank. Yeah.
Absolutely ranks. Well, that leads on to the next question.
I think it'll be a similar game to what we're seeing at the weekend. It's a team that plays, although they're better than Watford, they probably play in the same kind of fashion.
Yeah. You should be able to see Gaplin on the field that weekend.
They'll use Traore down there with their peers. Yeah. Get them lubed up and send them on.
Right, so Paul McManus says, it's a good question, what we've just been speaking about. It says, how many points do Newcastle pick up between now and Christmas? I reckon two.
Two?
Nah,
come on.
We'll have a little.
You've seen the fixtures.
Where are we? God, it's nearly October, isn't it?
Wait till you see the fixtures.
Yeah, I just see, need to see them.
They are absolutely horrific.
Okay, right. So, well, Mark, because you said two, that was your little laugh. So, right. So, Mark, we've got Wolves, obviously, the next game up.
I'll skip the Wolves game. So, after the Wolves game.
Okay, right. So, we've got Spurs at home.
Three.
Right, so we've got Spurs at home on the 17th.
I think we could beat Spurs, like.
All right, we've then got Palace away on the 23rd.
They've turned the corner at the minute as well, haven't they?
I'll say we'll lose that one.
We've then got Chelsea at home. Thanks very much. Move on.
Yeah, we'll that's lose, gone. What we'll are you thinking about that?
I'm really thinking there, like.
We'll lose that one.
Okay, then we've got Brighton away. Half five on Sky. We've never won on half five, I believe, ever. We're not going to win there either.
Let's say we'll get a point.
Wow. Brentford at home?
We'll win that.
Okay.
That's only my 2 points away, by the way.
Arsenal away?
We'll lose that.
Norwich at home?
We'll win that.
Burnley at home?
We'll win that.
Leicester away?
We'll not do what we did last season. We'll lose that.
And then we're getting bad here. Liverpool away? That. Man City at home.
I just think
Man United at home.
My thoughts are that we'll probably see some decent performances in there, but our previous track record, we can't win games.
That is true. I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. And do you know what is weird about it, right? Just hear us out here. Spurs at home, right? They are bad, right? And I actually kind of do fancy with it. I have no right to, but I do. But it's off on Skyline. But Chelsea at home, I remember we beat them 1-0 with a late, the worst game ever. We beat them right in.
Yep.
You've then got Norwich, you've got Burnley, you've got Brentford. Brentford are good, but I've got a lot of time for them. Yeah, maybe. We'll beat Leicester away 4-1 the last time. Like, I'm not saying we'll do it again, but what I'm trying to get at here is that there is times when we've went into games.
Points there to be.
We'll get hammered here.
Right. And, I'll quickly go through these ones. So Rob Morris says, does Lascelles come back into the team when fit?
Absolutely no.
Don't miss him.
Absolutely not.
Didn't miss him at all.
He will come back in because he's captain, but he shouldn't.
We've seen it before. Yeah. Where he comes back in, but we don't miss him.
No, we'll get a couple of months down the line, though, and we'll get, we're missing Lascelles organisation at the back.
But then he'll come back in and we'll realise.
Fede being back in there for me made a big, big difference.
Yeah.
And he was captain as well.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Something which I've been crying out for a long time. Yeah, I want Fede to be captain of this football club. But I don't think it's going to happen because Lascelles is going to be here a lot longer than Fede.
100%.
Shane Zona says, how come there's football discussions on my food podcast? Well, I've done quite well, and I know you've
I did it. Try to get me get a plug for me cookery book in there.
It's normally more organized when I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm normally more reserved than used to.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I think
Okay. Bestie was wild last week, like.
Yeah, see, like when Bestie
was did you watch it last week? Bestie was on
absolutely
form last week.
Off the rails.
I can tell you I've been locked in the house for the last 3 months. Keelan R31 says, do any of you lads have any thoughts on the case hearing on Wednesday? We've, to be honest with you, mate, we've stayed out of it. It's something which we don't know anything about, so why would we try and attempt to have a discussion about something? You just see what happens, and is it going to have any sort of influence on a takeover? No. I think this case right now is all about Ashley, and that's it. It's nothing to do with... it's not going to change anything.
Honestly, the only outcome I can see from it is another delay. I think they'll just rule that they can't make a decision until the arbitration sorted out, which we know is not going to happen until next year. So I think there'll be another delay. And even if it does go, it'll just delay again because either party can appeal the decision.
Yeah, there's a few questions based on it.
Simon, which is understandable. I mean,
Simon says, will you be watching the court case? No, I won't be watching it. I don't see what I'm going to gain from watching it.
Just wait and see.
Understand a word.
Wait and see what happens at the end of it.
Yeah, that's all we can do as fans, to be honest with you. Of course, we can make our opinions heard and obviously not be happy with it, with decisions which weren't made. But
I think all of us want it to happen. Of course, we all do, but I think it's just so long in the tooth now. It's dragged on. You just lose faith a little bit in it, and that's where I'm at with it all. I'm a little bit like that with the football team and club in general. You know, where you're just being kicked that many times, and that's why sometimes maybe I'm certainly not as educated in that field as I should be because I've lost interest in it.
Yeah,
but we all want it. I'd love Wednesday to come in. It's a great result. Of course, I do, but I wouldn't say I'd put money on it.
When was the last time you put money on Newcastle? I think remember when you said Steve Bruce would be the next man.
50 attack. Quid, aye. Brighton game, after the Brighton game.
I think Laura mentioned that an extra time.
He absolutely should have went after that. He should have went.
Oh, I thought it was buying money.
Full-time deck, was 50 quid gone.
Straight away, aye, yeah. Never to be seen again.
And that's why I was stuck with him, because if he doesn't get sacked after that run.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, sorry, two other questions.
I'll quickly end it on a food one, okay, because we haven't had anything food.
I need to tell you what I had on Saturday before we leave. Like before it ends.
Oh, food?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, we can discuss this now. Cool. So, Daryl, this has been a topic on Twitter, which I've noticed today. Daryl says, so I'll ask the question first, which is the Twitter question, not Daryl's. The Twitter question was basically name an overrated food. So, unpopular opinion, name overrated food. And there was a discussion about, I think it was Jess that said avocado is overrated, and Daryl apparently loves avocado.
I do as well. It's nice. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. I don't like it just by itself.
I definitely don't do that.
Is it cat food? Is that overrated?
But my argument was guacamole.
Oh, I like guacamole.
Guacamole is unreal. That's avocado.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were saying overrated. Sorry, I apologize. I was getting the
no.
I know what you're saying now.
Sorry, like, just plain avocado.
Yeah,
I don't think it's very nice.
I don't have toast.
I think George Colkin said tea cakes. He said they're just
Tea cake.
They're just little cakes. Some big one.
Tea cakes are nice.
I'm sure you said tea cakes. What's yours?
Was it not fairy cakes? I've seen something about fairy cakes.
An overrated food. That's tough, food. Because I love our own food. Like, I love it all.
There must be. Do you know what mine is?
The thing is, it's overrated, but it's good, right? That's the problem. And all food's amazing.
Well, mine's not that. So mine is cucumber.
I hate cucumber.
Absolutely. Well, I love that.
Oh, you like cucumber?
You love cucumber.
Oh, no, that's what I mean. Like, people talk about cucumber, like, it sounds like, a bit of cucumber, a bit of cucumber in there. And, like, I don't like it. And they go, well, it tastes like now. It fucking does. It tastes like wet grass.
Horrible. Yeah, it does. It does.
But, like, I hate it. This is what I hear about food when people say, well, it doesn't taste like anything. I go, what the fuck are you having it for then?
Yeah, why would you have it? Yeah, I agree.
See, we're supposed to eat this fucking air?
When I read this question, something that's overrated means it is actually good.
I think there was a few shouts for steak.
Well, that honest to God, that was me once.
You're telling me steak is overrated.
I would rather have a chicken breast than steak.
Nah, and I love steak, but I have to be. If I was going to pick something, it was going to be that. I think it is overrated. Like, yeah,
you're obviously not having a good well cooked steak.
Oh, I've I've been in some great places.
In beautiful,
and I've almost sat when that was lovely. But thinking of it now, like thinking overrated, like. It wasn't worth 80 quid. I've just paid for
it. There's a few shouts I'll go through.
what sauce would you have with your
George
steak?
Colkin said cupcakes.
Peppercorn. Yeah. I thought it was
cupcakes. There's a few comments here. Andy Hamilton, hi Andy, says bananas. Absolutely vile.
Oh, this is sick.
I quite like
it. A banana.
I stopped myself from saying that. You said it.
Has he had a banoffee pie? Have you had a banoffee pie?
I don't like banoffee pie. Like, horrific. It's too sickly.
My lass's mum, she makes a cracking one. I give her that. She always says, do you want a bit of banoffee pie? I'm like, Sue, I haven't known you for like 15 years.
Actually, that's just reminded me of something that I think's overrated.
But Sue, you do make a great banoffee pie.
Cheesecake.
I don't think your mother-in-law's watching.
She will be when I tell her the story. So you make a great one.
Cheesecake.
Bollocks, love cheesecake.
I think cheesecake's overrated.
What? You want
to? You're a fucking idiot.
It's just... I don't get the biscuit base.
Lush.
Yeah. No. The best part of it, yeah. That little, no, like...
Not for me.
Oh, right. So you've got cheesy. I'm going trifle. Yeah. Especially trifle with fruit in.
Oh, I do like a fruit trifle. No,
like, I don't dislike
fruit. I love the custard part. Like.
Custard. Oh.
If it's in date.
Now, see.
What? If it's in date.
if it's in date.
See, this is where I'm a little bit weird.
Oh,
good. I love...
What do you mean?
Love cold custard.
Oh, yeah.
I hate hot custard.
Absolute pervert.
Really?
I hate hot custard.
Yeah. Absolute pervert.
I
don't mind cold custard.
You get pudding or something like that. I hate it if you put hot custard on it.
Nah,
really?
You're wrong.
Like, I don't know.
When it starts melting the chocolate on the top, you can see like the little streaks of chocolate.
Do you have, because I do, like if I got a chocolate cake with custard, do you get ice cream as well?
Ice cream.
Yeah, as well. As
We will have, that, you will have your chocolate cake.
No, you have it cake. As well.
The same time.
Do you have custard and ice cream?
Yeah.
How are you not 30 stone?
When you hear what about the weekend?
The
mixture between the hot and the cold, it's really nice.
Well, that's why I like that. I would have warm cake so that the chocolate starts to melt and then the cold ice cream to go
with it. Yeah, I guess
I kind of then melt your ice cream a little bit to give you that.
I give it.
So if you're in a restaurant custard. And they go, all right, Mark, you go, what are you going to dessert menu? And they go, oh, God, sticky toffee pudding.
Ice cream.
Ice cream or custard?
Ice cream, 100%.
With sticky toffee bun?
You're 100%. Wrong. You've never been so wrong in your life.
Again, it's having a warm...
I get you.
A warm pudding with the cold ice cream.
Speaking of puddings, so you...
I wouldn't have ice cream with steak and kidney pudding.
You know, you've said you like cold custard.
Yeah.
So if the restaurant had said there's no ice cream, sir, sorry, would you have said, well, I'll have it, but just give us cold custard.
Give us some cold custard.
Have you ever done that?
I haven't, but I would.
Would you say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll just have the cake? Or would you say, do you know the custard? Can you not heat it up?
That's right.
So would you go, no,
if,
custard?
If there wasn't.
Make an effort at saying cold custard.
If there wasn't.
You'd
an
wait
option,
an hour until the cool down. Just say that.
If there wasn't an option to have ice cream, then I'd have custard, but I wouldn't enjoy it as much as having the ice cream.
The only
reason that I might have custard is
hot custard,
apple crumble.
Oh, beautiful. That's my favorite. You know?
I would probably have mine. I'd be tempted to have custard with apple crumble.
Hey, mommy, now she makes
and Christmas pudding. You've got to have custard with Christmas
horrible
pudding.
Christmas
she makes pudding, two a tea for on a Tuesday, like with the bairns and that. And not often I'm there, but she always texts like randomly, you know, like, a random month. She go, I'm making your favorite tonight, apple crumble and custard. And I'm like, oh, I feel like a kid, you know, like only 4-year-old. But she messages in that way. It's really nice. I love apple crumble. But you want to hear me story about Saturday? So I watched the boxing. Brilliant, by the way. Anyway, watch the boxing. Oh, sorry, shouldn't have said that because people will not be happy. The boxing was an eventful day.
All
right, I just thought people
would
kick off
fair,
that
no, it was fully deserved. It was absolutely fucking shambolic by Joshua.
It was.
Awful.
So I got a new thing. Have you heard it called a bolognese special?
Is it just with the bolognese pizza?
That's all it is, yeah. That's all it is.
Just like the one
from it's a garlic from Gills, aye?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I know. So all you're doing
is just replacing the garlic bread, right? So you get a bolognese pizza. And then obviously
I think we need to take a step back because there might be new members and new listeners to this. We'll always have a little segment on food. It just normally goes that way. A garlic bread special is our trademark dish on the Always Smiling Faces podcast.
I've not one for ages.
Is normally where you normally go for your cheesy garlic bread special, which is a cheesy garlic bread base, but it looks more like the size of a normal pizza base. So it's quite thick. Then if you get it from our side of the water, so if you get it from South Shields and Gateshead, what they do is it's kebab meat, but it's kebab meat just covered all over the pizza. Then chips on top of that all over.
Whoa.
Then the drizzle on it from a big ladle. They just pour, I'm getting hot on you. They just pour garlic and chili on top of it. You can either have one or the other. The other side
of
the water.
Or both.
The other side of the water, so Newcastle side, what they do, they half it. So you have your garlic bread and they put your kebab meat on one half of it.
Wrong.
And your chips on the other half.
Wrong.
And your garlic comes in tubs.
Wrong.
It is the worst. They've heard what a garlic bread special is and got it wrong.
Absolutely correct. Yes, they've got it wrong.
Yeah. But what Decker's saying, that golden chip.
Maybe they want you maybe they want you to get your garlic bread special and just like fold it in half and make a massive kebab.
In fairness,
garlic bread special sandwich.
In fairness, that might depends on how much you get, right? But putting the kebab that half and chips that half might be the same as kebabbing them the chips.
No, because then you've got to rearrange.
No, I'm giving you. I agree.
You've got to have chip and garlic.
So my actual favorite, by the way, and I've just said all this about you know how much I love garlic bread specials. My favorite is a Joy Delight pizza from Gills, where that's the pizza but the kebabs in the pizza.
There is
no better feeling than dipping the core at the point into your garlic tub of garlic. There's no better feeling. No better feeling.
And I love it when you've had all the garlic and all you can do is scrape the sides.
Scrape it.
You know you've had a good night there. Yeah. Like
it's the best. But I had that on Saturday and I swear to you, it was a game changer for us, like that bolognese.
But yeah, but what they do now, what I was saying there is that they've now started to replace the garlic bread from the bottom with an actual pizza.
See where my mind went with this one, and this is making me a little bit excited, is keep your garlic bread base, get your kebab meat on,
cold toast, cold custard,
get your chips on, and then your bolognese sauce.
Okay. Bolognese, what's that?
Then your cheese, then your cheese on the top.
Well, hey, I'm for that.
That would be sexual.
I swear though, when he gives us the box, honestly, we're going to deliver, and he gives us the box. Like, it was so heavy.
What I would like to see, right, is so.
Yeah. I'm starving now.
I am as well. My body's rolling like.
So I would like your garlic bread, your cheese. I'll always go for a cheesy garlic bread.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So it's only an extra quid, isn't it? Yeah. So your cheesy garlic bread on the bottom. Then I want garlic poured on that. Then I want the kebab meat on top. Then garlic poured on that. Then I want chips poured on it.
Oh, it's like a decadence food.
Then poured on that. But then I want loads of cheese on the top of it, and I want to go back in for a couple of minutes.
That's what I'm saying with the
melt the cheese.
That's what I'm saying with this bolognese garlic bread special that I've just invented.
So when you get your garlic bread special, do you get another tub of garlic?
I have done.
Yeah, I do. I did on thinking. My mate was going, what are you doing?
Depends how keen the garlic is, doesn't it?
All over, but it's amazing.
Overly. That's how I would describe it. Overly keen with the garlic.
Yeah. If you think you've put too much garlic on, put another ladle on.
Yeah,
I agree. That's what I'd say to them.
Yep. So that's us done for the night. I hope you've enjoyed that last bit. There's loads of people saying, somebody said, what is bolognese?
I didn't say bolognese. You did. I said bolognese.
You said bolognese.
I said bollig.
Do you call it bolognese?
Bolognese.
Do you pronounce the G?
Bolognese?
Bolognese. Did you say bolognese?
Bolognese.
That's not your voice. That's how you're saying
bolognese.
It. Bolognese.
Bolognese.
What?
So you go bolog, like bolognese.
Spaghetti bolognese.
Bolog.
No, you pronounce it G?
Bolognese.
I mean, it's there, like, but I mean, I normally just
bolognese?
Go... No, he says bolognese.
What do you say? Bolognese.
Bolognese?
Bolognese.
Bolog.
Do the full family say bolognese?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Everybody tuning in, if you'd just like to tell us in the description, as we sign out, if you say bolognese, bolognese, or bollock. No.
Not bollock. Bollock.
So you add the G, just say I add the
bollock
G.
Bollock.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I've enjoyed this one, boys.
Well, I agree, because it was actually... It's funny, isn't it, though? I reckon, you know, you could get other people on, could probably sit and really rip that game apart.
Mm.
But generally speaking, I couldn't really accept the missed chances, but wasn't that bad. I mean, it's still not enough, mate.
It doesn't take away from the fact of that we should have had them dead and buried by half-time.
And it doesn't change the fact that we'll probably still get relegated. But what I'm
We won't.
We're based not on 90 minutes of football, and it wasn't... I've seen a lot worse, but that way.
We still haven't done with bloody envelopes either, because Bessie hasn't...
We haven't all been yet the same
tonight
time
ages. That's what I'm saying.
So I think the time's gone now for the envelopes. It's gone.
We might get closer.
Why don't we just put a date in everyone, I think? We'll still be sacked.
31st of never.
Yeah, that's a shout, to be fair. That is a shout.
And then, you know, we get to closest.
Right, everybody, thank you very much for tuning in. We did have plenty of stuff last week on the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel. We've got plenty more stuff coming this week as well. You'll have extra time. You'll have match previews. You'll have reactions to games. You saw last week the first United State from Shade and Rich.
That.
Which, it's gone down really well. I knew it would have a decent impact, but I was quite surprised at some of the comments coming in, especially from UK-based fans as well that listened to it.
Class,
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was great to hear the passion that Shade had for the club.
Yeah, it was quite funny listening to Rich because, like, 1 minute he was Geordie and then, like, the next second he would go into America, and it was quite funny.
But yeah, it's great watch. That's going to be every 2 weeks. It's not going to be weekly. It's going to be fortnightly. And if you go back, Shade explains what is going to be happening. The synopsis.
I think Rich has only just joined Twitter as well, so we need to get his ass out there.
So they're all going to be getting other fan groups on from America. They're going to go down the rounds, look at the other ones that have meetups for the Newcastle United games. And like I said, there's loads more stuff coming. You've got all of my United videos. There's 5 of them now, and there is more coming. We are arranging ones. Man United ones. So yeah, there's some more coming. Pete Graves is going to be doing one in the next couple of weeks. We'll all be doing them throughout the season. Elliot Slesser is all arranged. He's going to be doing one, so the snooker player. But yeah, plenty more to come. Thanks for watching tonight. If you do want to like the video, thanks very much. Helps us out massively, as well as becoming a member. And just keep us going. Thanks very much. And we'll see you at the weekend.
Pass the strepsils.
Stay safe.